This morning I want to talk to you about demonic portals. Demonic what? Demonic portals. Simply put, we're going to be talking about particularly how the enemy, Satan, tried to access the life of Jesus to shut him down and take him out. A number of years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, I received a phone call from someone, I actually knew them, but they began sharing with me that things had started happening in the home. It was a mom, a single mom, and her child, and she started describing basically what many people would call an apparition. It would have been a demonic entity that was actually manifesting in the home that they were seeing frequently and at their wit's end. It was creating a lot of fear and terror in both of them, the mother and the child. And she described where it would appear, where it would go, and what it would do. And I'll stop it at that. But as we talked about this, I began to ask her questions, and she pinpointed where it always originated from. I said, well, go in there while we're talking. And talking to her on the telephone, and I said, tell me about that room. And she started to describe it. And I said, well, whose room is it? Well, it was, she said it was a room her former husband had always used. And I started asking questions. And he had become involved in a lot of occultic stuff, witchcraft. He had paraphernalia in there that he had carried out his occultic practices and rituals. And so I said, well, while you're standing there, let's just pray. I said, just put your speakerphone on. And I began to pray with her and just began to take authority over the spirit in the house. And while we were praying, she described something that happened in the room. We kept praying. I led her in some prayers of repentance and then renouncing some things. And we prayed some inner healing stuff for her. This all happened over a period of about 10 minutes. And then I said, well, I want you to go into each room of the house. We'll continue to pray. And here's what I want you to do. I told her what to do. And I said, now I want you to go to the front door, open the door. Oh, you got a screen door? Yes. Open the screen door. I said, I want you to stand there. And I want you to say this, and this is something along the lines of what I led her to pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this house is under the rulership of Jesus Christ. I renounce every spirit that's contrary to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave now and never return. And I said, now pray it like you mean it. Pray it from a place of faith. And she did. And I said, now close the door and let's believe together that God has honored his word. Well, a number of weeks passed and got back in touch. And she said, even though that had been happening every night over quite a long period of time, she got so desperate. She said, it's completely gone. There had been no more occurrence. That's just a simple example of how the enemy will try to move in on a person's property and begin to terrorize them. And you and I have been given authority. You see, the spirit realm is real. It existed long before this earth was ever created. In that sense, it's more real than the world in which we live. And the Bible's very clear about it. In the realm of the spirit, there's the ministry of angels. But also, there's the activity of the demonic or fallen angels, demons. I personally believe the scripture teaches that those demons would be the fallen angels and that they are very real. I tell you story after story after story of people who have been freed from that, people who have been terrorized by it, people who have been healed because of doors they open. So when I use the word portal, I'm talking about an opening through which the enemy desires to access a person's life, a person's home, a person's family. Sometimes the crosshairs are on an entire family line and things can be transferred and carried on. But you and I need to know how to walk in the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, how to use the Word of God, rely upon the Holy Spirit, and live in freedom and help others find freedom. Now, that subject is much broader than what I'm going to touch on today. Today, we're going to dive into Matthew chapter 4, which records for us the temptation experience of Jesus when he was tempted. Now, Matthew records it. Luke also records it. And for a full picture, it's good to read both of them. We're not going to read both of them today. I will mention things in both of them today. Matthew mentions some things Luke doesn't. Luke mentions some things Matthew doesn't. Matthew gives an order of those temptations occurred. Luke's is a little different, but they all cover the same basis, and each brings to that things of their own. But the Holy Spirit guided all of that to allow us to see Jesus as an example of how to handle an encounter with Jesus. It was with Satan himself. So let's read the scripture as Matthew records it. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Notice he's called the devil here. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him," notice here, he's called the tempter. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'You, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Verse 5. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple." Now notice that the devil took him up. The devil set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 8. "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan.'" Notice he calls him Satan here. He's been referred to as the devil, Diabolos, the accuser, the tempter, and now Satan. "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." This is a fascinating story in the life of Jesus. And it has a mountain of information to us, for us, about the realm of the Spirit. It's really, really quite amazing that the enemy is able to take him up on a mountain or take him to Jerusalem, put him on the pinnacle of the temple. It's amazing. He then takes him to the mountain, and literally in an instance, he's able to give him an overview of all the kingdoms of the world. And then also how he accesses the scripture and tries to use them against Jesus. And then when it's all over, angels, these are holy angels, came and ministered to Jesus. That's a lot of supernatural fireworks going on. But those are portholes for us to see the activity in the realm of the Spirit in which the Father allowed Jesus to go through in order to be tested. Because we read that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested or tempted by the devil. In other words, God was allowing this, and Jesus, beyond what maybe many of us would ever have to deal with. He was like taken into the realm of the Spirit and things were happening. It was a very intense time of assault, temptation that was brought against him in body, in soul, and in spirit. The first thing was the devil tempted him to turn the stones into bread. Why would bread have been a temptation at all to him at this point? 40 days since he had a meal, right? So we see here he attacks him bodily, physically. Hunger. If you haven't eaten in 40 days, a Big Mac sounds pretty good, right? And so he is tempting him to use his authority and power in response to human fleshly desire, not fleshly in sinful ways, but just allowing his life to be led by the appetites of his body. That's how the enemy got to Eve. Not that she was hungry, but he made her hungry through verbally his words and also by object lessons. See this fruit? How beautiful it is. Awakening her. They had all the food in the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine how delicious that fruit was? You didn't have to worry about biting into a worm or anything like that. I mean, it was just plenty to eat. And yet he was able to entice her through her human appetites. And as I've shared with you previously, one of the on-ramps for the enemy and access point he has into all of our lives is through our human appetites. It can be hunger. It can be drink. It can be sexuality. It can be through relationships that are wrong for us, those kind of things. So the enemy is still using that on people, but he came hard against Jesus after 40 days of not eating to turn stones into bread. After all, if he was going to be a leader of God's people like Moses was, Moses spoke to a rock and water started gushing out of it. Surely, you know, demonstrate your power. And then the next thing, and that's amazing just to consider, how did he do that? How did he take him up to the pinnacle of the temple? And he's basically said, and notice how sly and subtle the enemy is. He's sly in the way he works. He's subtle in the way he speaks. And Jesus had just confronted him. Man can't live by this bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. And he uses the word of God to counter the enemy. So what's the enemy do? Well, I've got to use his weapon against him. Next temptation takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. Temple's where you worship God. I mean, you're in the natural, like, this is a place where you're really close to God and where all the God stuff's happening. This is the place to do it. This is where you can really prove who you are. Bail off of here. Because the scriptures, since you like the scriptures, it is written, by the way, the devil knows the Bible cover to cover. And he'll use it against you. He will. Listen, you will never find peace with a twisted scripture. And that's what the enemy's doing here. He's taking the scripture and twisting it for Jesus. In other words, creating a place for Jesus to legitimately use the scripture and claim it by jumping off the temple, and then those angels would manifest out of the realm of the spirit, and that would and catch him, and so he wouldn't be injured, and that would prove he really was this powerful supernatural leader that was going to lead Israel. But Jesus would not use the scripture illegitimately. He says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." We've got to be really grounded in the Word, because if we're not, people can take the Scripture and tweak it just enough to make it say what they want it to say. A lot of times we bring all of our conclusions to the Scripture and we want to bend those conclusions to the Scripture to make the Scripture say what we want them to say. Maybe because our dad or granddad said it. Or because we've got a revelation over here and we're wanting all the other scriptures to wrap around it and make that the revelation That's how movements are started that are wrong. That's how cults are formed. So we've got to learn to follow God's peace and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the Scripture, because the devil knows how to use the Scripture. How many people have done what the people in Jonestown did when they drank poison Kool-Aid and committed mass suicide, because their leader, who had been teaching them his version of the Scripture, told them that's what they were supposed to do? And the enemy can poison our lives by twisting the Scripture or wrongly handling the Word of God. We're told to rightly divide the Word of God, not just the parts we like. So that was the second one. He gets the third one. He offers him the kingdoms of the world. And this is, you know, here's your shortcut, Jesus, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. I want to share some thoughts with you now for you to think about, to ponder on, and from the scriptures that we've just read about temptation. Again, we're seeing how the enemy tried to access Jesus and how Jesus countered him, stood strong against that attack, and came out of it just as sinless as he was when he went into it. First thing, remember what Jesus did before he headed into one-on-one battle with the devil. That's the context that surrounds the temptation. What happened to Jesus right before the temptation? He was baptized, wasn't he? You remember he went to John? He says, I want you to baptize me. And John said, no, I should be baptized of you. And Jesus said, this is the right thing to do. He was honoring John. John was honoring him. And Jesus was baptized. In other words, he obeyed the Father's plan for his life. He honored John as the forerunner that was preparing the way for him as the Messiah. And he obediently went into the water. And then heaven opened. The Holy Spirit came down upon him. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit for his ministry, anointed with for his ministry. And then the Father spoke audibly, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He got a revelation from God about identity. You're my Son and I love you. I'm pleased with you. What he was doing, being baptized, aligning with John's forerunning ministry. And then it says that he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the enemy. But that's not it. And it says then he fasted for 40 days. So you've got obedience. You've got honor. He's being baptized. And by the way, if you haven't been baptized as a believer, you're not obedient. You're commanded to be baptized. And I would even say this. You will not fully appreciate or understand your true identity as a believer until you identify with Jesus who died and was buried and raised from the dead. When Jesus was baptized, heaven opened and he got a spoken revelation over his life about his identity. So by example, I believe when a person obediently follows the Lord and is baptized, then that positions them for a greater level of revelation of who they are in Christ. You're just going to grow more as an obedient believer. There's going to be a blessing on that. I believe that. And so the Father was pleased with Jesus being baptized. He spoke that over him. And so his obedience, his honor, it says he was led by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He fasted and prayed. All of that, why? Because the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. In other words, the Father knew what was coming, and the Holy Spirit's leading him toward that time of testing. But we have to look back and see all the things that Jesus did as our Lord, as our example, to prepare himself for that temptation and that testing. And some people want to say, well, that wasn't a big deal for him. He was the Son of God. He was God in human flesh. Listen, you don't understand. His temptation wasn't just the same as ours. I believe the temptation took him further into stuff than we'd ever go, because we start breaking down like, well, way before then. He stood strong through everything the enemy brought down the pike at him. And if you don't think it was rigorous and intense and agonizing, why do you think the Father then sent angels to minister to him after it was over? You know the other time he sent angels to minister to him? When he prayed in Gethsemane right before he was to be crucified and sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And I doubt you would think the cross wasn't an agonizing thing he went through. Yes, it was. So everything about this shouts to me, look at what he did that positioned and prepared him to be able to pass the test when it came. Are you walking in obedience? How are you honoring the Lord? Have you been baptized? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit? Do you fast and pray? A few Sundays ago, as we talked about, we need to be ready, not just to get ready. We need to stay ready. This is what, again, what we're seeing here in the life of Jesus. And he went through it. He didn't buy in like the first Adam did. He passed the test. Another thing I want you to think about, it's not always one and done when it comes to temptation. And sometimes we may be tempted a single temptation and we work through that and we make it and it's good. But there are times, this for Jesus, this really became like a 40-day season. My understanding, it was after the 40 days of fasting, the enemy really came hard against him. But you will also have to agree with me that the seasons of intense preparation also bring with it their own kind of warfare. This was a season. And the enemy didn't just come against him. Well, he didn't turn those stones into bread. Now he turned and he came at him this way. And that didn't work. Then he came at him another way. This is repeated attacks and assaults. And sometimes we go through the seasons where it's like, oh man, you get hit here and you're trying to deal with that. Then you turn, you think it's going to be a little better. And then here comes a different one and you get hit. And you think, well, maybe that's over. Then you take another step and boom, you get hit here. Anybody else ever been through a season like that? It's like you only turn to be met with a new storm. You only get back up to be hit with a new temptation. There's just sometimes these seasons of trials and testings that can come, and this is what's happening for Jesus. This is a very intense season for him of testing and trying. The Bible says he was tested in all points, just like we are, yet he never sinned. But it goes on to say, because of that, he is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Going back to what Brother David said up here about feelings, Jesus identified. He knows what it feels like to be tempted. He knows the pain of that. Sometimes when we're ministering to people, the Lord may allow you start having these feelings that identify with some of those things. And that's the Holy Spirit's way of alerting you what that person's needing prayer for. And so that we can learn to discern those kind of things. Jesus, it was brought down heavy on him, but he passed the test. It's not always one and done. Like, well, if I was really serving God, I don't think I'd be hit like this. I mean, if there must be something really wrong. No, sometimes it's because everything's right. Everything's in alignment. Jesus took every step the Father wanted him to take. He perfectly obeyed. He was in perfect alignment. He was doing what he was supposed to do, and he was doing it sinlessly and perfectly. And yet, boom, 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 it came down against him. So, don't be discouraged. James, to encourage us, that's counted all joy. Peter similarly speaks the same way about, you know, that your faith's being tried. You need to realize that. Remember what Jesus told Peter. I've mentioned it the last two Sundays, and now again, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Peter remembers that, because later he says, when the fiery trial comes, you need to pray that your faith fail not. Because that old boy knew what it was like. He denied Jesus three times. Going back fishing, kind of giving up, got restored. He knew what he is saying when he says, you know, it's going to try your faith. He knew what it was like to be sifted. Sometimes we go through these trying, testing, sifting seasons, and we need to pray that our faith won't fail and realize God's working something in us and we'll be stronger as a result of it. The enemy wants to use it to turn you away from God. Another thought to think about is revelation will often be followed by confrontation. And I have found this to be true. When God begins to open His Word to you, and you begin to see things in the Word that are just speaking, I mean, coming right down the middle. You know what I mean? This is like comes off the page. You know, whoa, yeah, this is the Word of God, but it's becoming rhema. As Pastor Matt prayed, that active, freshly spoken, right for now, God special delivered, you know, pizza man at the door, here's your pizza, kind of revelation. This is what you're needing. You're going to need this. Here it is. Rhema word. Jesus fought using rhema word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when God, you start getting a revelation, it's going to be tested. You remember the big revelation Peter got? What was it? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus gave him a big attaboy for that. You know, you got that from the Father, not man. Where was he tested? You were with him. He denied who Jesus was or knowing him three times. He was tested on the revelation he'd been given. Jesus, what's the revelation he's just received? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What's the devil got in his crosshairs? If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, if God said that, but if that's who you really are, well, just prove it. Jump off the temple and those angels will manifest and they'll catch you. A lot of people tried that in the 60s and 70s with LSD. And they found out that it was a different spirit speaking to them. But that revelation was being tested for Jesus. The enemy, when a revelation comes, we need to receive it and soak in it until it becomes part of who we are. It becomes incarnational and it results in transformation. So revelation, we want it to become incarnation, results in transformation, become a different person. The enemy came against him and started attacking his identity. He's trying to get him to approve that he was the Son of God. So a lot of times when we get a revelation, one of the temptation that comes is to get us to move out in zeal to prove this revelation's real in our life. In other words, to presume upon the Lord and just, well, this is the truth. I'm going to take it and do this. Well, no, this is the truth. Now, how does God want you to use it? We don't operate by our ideas. We operate by being led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us ideas. That's an inspired idea, and you can step out on it. But I hope you hear what I'm saying. Zeal can get us into a lot of trouble. Stepping out before the Lord opens the door. And so forth. And so he's trying to coax him to jump. The Lord, he'll catch you. He'll catch you. And then knowing as soon as he jumps, he's just violated the Scripture. And the Scripture, God might catch him in mercy, but it's not going to be in response to his faith or rightly using the Word of God. And the other is just to get you into fear about it so you just deny it. And you don't let it change you. Or to be deceived by the fact, just by getting it, you think that's all that's involved. The Lord gives us revelation because we're going to need it. So that means we've got to use it. Revelation will often be followed by confrontation. Jesus taught this in the parable of the soils. He talked about the sower went forth to seed, to sow seed. And some fell on the stony grounds. The birds came and ate the seed. He said, that's the devil trying to steal the word. You may be sitting in a service like this morning, and there may be one thing I say or one thing you see out of the Scripture, and it's like, that's for me. God just spoke. I know that's just for me. You're going to get warfare coming against that to steal that seed before you get home. That person honking his horn behind you. I had somebody do that this morning. I probably pulled out a little too quickly in front of them, and they didn't like it. And the next thing I knew is, well, is this going to be one of those, what you call it, road rage I'm going to kill me a preacher kind of thing, or got my mind off on something else. You know, the enemy will do all kind of stuff to get your mind off the revelation God's given you. Sometimes we'll have a dream. I confess this before you. I've had dreams in the night and I wake up like, wow, I think the Lord is speaking to me. I won't ever forget this. Wake up the next morning. What was that? And then you feel guilty, like, Lord, forgive me for not stewarding this. I'm the only one? Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying Revelation's going to be, Jesus talks about the seed will fall upon the thorns and, you know, try to suffocate the word out. But the good soil that gets that word in there and lets it grow and waters it and so forth, that brings over 30, 60, 100 fold. So that's how important it is for us to receive the word. The Lord might have something for you out of His Word this morning that you're not going to find on that Facebook you're looking at right now. I'm just saying. Think about it. In the middle of the war, you must cling to the Word. That's what Jesus did. He didn't get in a debate with the devil or argument with the devil. He just said, it's written. That's just like saying, okay, I hear what you're saying. This is what God says. You're a liar? Let me tell you what the truth speaker says. It's just the Word. The Word, sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It is written. Thy Word, O Lord, is settled forever in the heavens. I won't get that Word in my heart. Speak it out in my mouth. Thy Word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. The hidden Word in the heart positions us to be able to stand against temptation so that we don't sin against the Lord. So, you can say, I'm tired of hearing about needing to read the Bible. It may save your life. It may keep your marriage intact. It may bring your prodigal child home. It may cause you to get that healing that's wanting to take you out. That from that sickness that wants to take you out. That's how important the Word of God is. In the middle of the war, you must cling to the Word. And we see Jesus doing that. And the devil would try to twist it and use it against Him. Jesus didn't fall for that. No, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You're still the tempter. You may be spouting a Bible verse, but I still remember who you are. You're the tempter. So you're up to no good, Jack. He didn't do the Jack thing, but that was added for emphasis. Okay. Next thought. The enemy wants to shift your focus on what he wants to give you instead of what God has already given you. First temptation. Jesus is hungry. Let me help you. Here's some stones. Presto, turn them into bread. Don't send me emails about saying presto. I repent. Okay. But turn them into bread. What's he doing? The devil, like, let me give you something to meet that need, your hunger. He does that with our human appetites. Well, you know you and your spouse are not getting along so good and she's not warming up to you too much. But this woman over here, she's wanting to warm up to you. He'll provide a substitute. Well, you know that you're going to get all bent out of shape and you can just take a half of one of those pills and it'll just steady things out so you'll be able to be all right. And you know, well, I've got a history. If I take a half, I don't stop until I've taken five and then I'm out of it. The enemy's subtle. He's a sly fox. He wants to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. Jesus is aware of this. Don't take what the devil offers. And somehow, I believe it's simply by observation, the enemy can see God beginning to position things for people and bring them into place. You may be in a service, you get a prophetic word. And you hear a word, and it's like everything that word says, it's like, I don't see how that could happen. I'm the opposite of that. And yet, something in you says, this is true, this is for me. What God is doing is giving you a preview of who He wants you to be, so you'll begin taking steps to prepare for that And other people see it, that wasn't God. I know them. I know what's going on in their life. But see, you don't understand, the prophetic encourages, it comforts, it exhorts. It's the Lord encouraging you to begin to move in the right direction for what He has for you, because the devil wants to kill you. But sometimes the enemy can maybe see that, and what he'll start doing is running ahead and intervening and offering you a substitute. It's not that what Lord said, but it's something, you know, it's close enough you might feel like it's all right. Don't settle. Don't listen to the liar. Let God be true. Every man a liar. Another thing, I'm going to move on here. When the enemy, this is the last one, when the enemy comes against us, we find out what is within us. When the enemy came against him, what came out of him? The Word of God. Came against him again, what came out of him? The Word of God. Came against him a third time, what did it come? The Word of God. Fame and glory and power for the kingdoms? No. I'm going to only worship and serve. I'm not going to bow to you. And by the way, when he offered him the kingdoms of the world, that word world is, it's got a root word, the oikos. It's really the idea he's talking, because he said, Luke says he showed him the authority and glory of the kingdoms of the world. That word world speaks of the places in the world where there are inhabitants. In other words, he showed him the people of the world and the authority and glory that was on them in a worldly way. And you know what he said in Luke? The devil told him. He said, I'll give you the authority and glory of the kingdoms of this world. In other words, over all these people. I can do that because it's been delivered unto me. And I can give it to whomever I will. Jesus did not deny that. As a matter of fact, I believe the liar was telling the truth about that. But when was it delivered to him? Well, let me answer that question by asking you another. When God created this earth, this world in which people would live, who did He give the dominion and authority to? Adam and Eve, right? It was all theirs. And to show you the seductive power of Satan, they had everything, and yet one tree out of all the forest upon forest upon forest that had ever been created at creation that they could eat from, can you imagine how wonderful it was? He used that one tree they couldn't eat from to slyly deceive Eve and then Adam, and they fell into sin. And I believe that's when they delivered their dominion over to Satan. So Satan said, it's been delivered to me. I can give it who I want to. And Jesus, I'm not going to worship you. You know, I shall worship only the Lord my God. Away with you, Satan. At that point, that was enough. Get out of here, devil. And he was gone. And the angels came. But what we find later in Matthew 28, Jesus, after He's died on the cross, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and then is gloriously resurrected, and right before He ascends back to sit at the right hand of the throne of God, He gathers His disciples together, and He makes this staggering statement. All authority in heaven and earth have been given to Me. You see, where sinful Adam fell, or where the perfect Adam fell into sin, the first Adam, the second Adam faithfully endured every temptation, perfectly lived a life, and then died as a sacrifice for all of Adam's descendants to have an opportunity to be saved. Jesus, as the last Adam, was given authority back over all the earth as a man full of the Holy Spirit. And then He told His followers, now, I've got this authority, now you go. In other words, you and I, by virtue of the promise of Jesus Christ Himself, who testified, the Father has now given Him authority, all authority in heaven and earth. He's been given that. Now, we can take that and go share the gospel, see people's sins forgiven, cast out devils, minister healing, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, you know, in the virtue of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished at the cross. We're enabled to do all of that. So that means any place, we're getting to the good stuff now, any place the enemy has accessed your life, and yes, he can access the lives of the believer because we choose to allow him to do so. But you have the authority to kick that sucker off your property, out of your house, and out of your life. He's a tempter, he's a liar, he's the devil, he is Satan, and in Jesus' name, he has to submit to Jesus Christ. That's the reason we are told that the Father will do anything if we'll ask it in Jesus' name. It's just as if Jesus was asking. And that's the reason we don't need to be zealous and just go off doing stuff that we haven't been led to do and we haven't been told to do by the Lord. We ought to use His name reverently. We ought to use His name authoritatively. We ought to use His name obediently and willingly when the Holy Spirit leads us to do so on the authority of Scripture and the Word of God. And what happened when Jesus was squeezed in the temptation? And let's face it, sometimes it's these storms. It brings out of us what's in us. Sometimes I don't know if this is the devil or if this is God. Well, sometimes it may be that devil's ringing you here and God's ringing you there, and the pressures, you're being squeezed like a sponge, and what's coming out of you is what's in you. And the devil's squeezing away. He's hoping to get that old flesh man to rise up and start stomping and cursing and anger and get in bitterness and do the works of the flesh. But the Spirit of God is awakening your spirit man to stand up. No, even though your eyes not seeing what you think you should be seeing, your ears aren't hearing what you think you should be hearing, your faith man, your spirit man rises up and you're spouting the Word of God in faith and believing it with every fiber of your spirit being. And we see this in this wall. We got so many examples in Scripture where men took and women took big bold steps of faith and God did signs and wonders and miracles. But there's other glimpses too. When they didn't know what was going to happen. Joshua facing going into the promised land. The Lord said He's going to give it to him. But he had to boldly stand up and say, I don't know what all you're going to do, but choose this day whom you're going to serve. But I can tell you what I'm going to do. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Or you got old Job taking pieces of clay pots that are broken and scraping the scabs of his sores. And he's lost his kids and his farm and it's all been destroyed. And everybody's encouraging him just to curse God and die. And Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those three Hebrew children, they're at the fiery furnace because they prayed when they weren't supposed to pray sometime. And they didn't bow when they're supposed to bow. And the door of that furnace heated up 7 times hotter. They stood there and they said, I don't know whether my God is going to deliver me from this fire or not. But I can tell you, whether He delivers me or whether He doesn't, I am not going to bow. That's some faith right there, folks. You got Peter and John that we saw last Sunday from the Scripture when they are threatened nevermore to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, let me tell you something, guys. I'm giving you the redneck version here. I'm telling you something, guys. You can do what you want to do. You be the judge about whether we should obey God or not. But I'm telling you what we're going to do. We're going to stand right here in the name of Jesus and tell you what we've seen Him do and what we've heard Him say. And bless old Habakkuk and war-torn Israel when the spirit of prophecy came upon him. And he said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and there's no food in the field, where the flocks have been cut off from the fold, and there no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Sometimes it's in the trials and storms and testing when the squeeze is put on us. That's when we find out what's really deep down inside of us. And this is one preacher that's just dropping by today to encourage you to get full of the Word of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Do what God's told you to do and trust Him no matter what comes your way. Stand true. Stand strong. Your life may very well depend on it. Our worship team is coming. And it may be that you're here this morning and you know I've opened the door to the enemy. I know some things I've been doing I shouldn't have done, and I know the devil's got in through that hole. I've opened that door and he's come right in. Preacher, I've held back. I hadn't been doing what I know the Lord wants me to do. And I've given the enemy a place. I still got that quick temper. I can't stay away from that bottle. I'm still visiting those sites. Whatever it may be that becomes an access point for the enemy to get in there and set up a base camp to start working in your life or in your mind or in your thoughts. I encourage you this morning to let your faith rise up and cling to the Word of the living God. Repent of that sin. Renounce it. Close that door. Invite the Spirit of the living God to come in and fill you. And in the name of Jesus, use your authority and cleanse your life, cleanse your home, cleanse your marriage, cleanse your property. Jesus is Lord, and you've got a new covenant that's based on better promises than any agreement God's ever had with any other people. You've got the best one, ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. And Satan can't stand a saint, whether it be man or woman, who knows who Jesus Christ really is and knows who they are in Him. You are a threat to everything He's trying to do. And you need not forget that. You need to stand in that place this morning. As I ask you to stand, let's prophetically do that. We're taking a stand this morning right now. Our altar workers are coming. Come on up right now. As they're coming, I'm going to lead us in a corporate prayer to renounce, to close doors, to take authority, and to be free. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord this morning, I encourage you right now to repent of your sins and turn toward Him and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I believe You died for me. Come into my heart. Save me. I confess You as Lord of my life. I believe You're alive. God raised You from the dead. I'm giving my life to You. It's just as simple as that. He responds to what's happening in your heart. For those of you that feel like you need to seal off some doorways, some access points, close some portals, so to speak, some entry points, let's just bow our heads a moment. I encourage you to just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of any and every way that I've allowed the devil or any of his demons to begin to influence my life. I believe the Holy Spirit is helping you know choices you've made, behaviors you've engaged in, doors you've opened. I believe He's helping you right now. disagree with the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge that was a bad call. I acknowledge that was sin. I acknowledge that was wrong of me to do that. I repent of it. I put it under the blood of Jesus by faith. Thank you, Lord, that when I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. And I receive that right now. I renounce any and every way. Just tell them. I renounce any and every way I've allowed the enemy to influence my life. And in the name of Jesus, I'm closing the door right now. I'm closing that door right now in Jesus' name. You might say, I'm closing that door of lying. I'm closing that door of drug addiction. I'm closing that door of pornography. I'm closing the door on that affair. I'm closing the door on greed. I'm closing the door on gluttony. I'm closing the door on gossip. Whatever it is, I can go on and on. I don't need to tell you. The Holy Spirit will help you. Just close the door on it. Repent of it. I renounce it and close the door. Now pray this. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority and I command the enemy to take his hands off of me and what is mine in Christ. Away with you, devil. Away with you, devil. In the name of Jesus, I hold before you my new covenant ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and King of all kings. You have to go in His name. Lord, I thank you for freedom. Just thank the Lord for it. I receive it, and I take my stand in it, in Jesus' name. Now let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would seal these decisions. Thank you that you're hearing these prayers. And corporately, let everybody get in agreement now. We come against every way the enemy has deceived us. Every wrong agreement we've made. Every lie we've believed. Every time we've obeyed the devil and not God. We just pile that up right now in one heap, so to speak. Bring it all together. And say in the name of Jesus, its power is broken off of us. We are cleansed. We are free. In Jesus' name, away with you, Satan. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I believe there are people. Some of you may need to come and seal this in prayer. Some of you may have other needs. I encourage you to come this morning as we begin to worship. I'm going to release you just shortly, but we want to step into this. Just thank the Lord for freedom. Thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing. Would you come? If you need prayer, just come on up to the front right now. You may need to just come pray at this altar by yourself. You're welcome to do that. There's someone here to pray with you. Anyone. Anyone. That's between you and the Lord. You just be obedient. believe there's someone here, you're struggling, and it's like the thoughts you're thinking of, I don't know if this is real or not. I don't even know if God's real. And you may have made fun. You may have mocked the name of the Lord. And that anger that you've experienced at times, it rises up against you when people are talking about this kind of stuff. To me, that's evidence of the Spirit of God dealing with you. And I think another reason for you to believe that God is real is because He's showing me what you're thinking right now. And He's giving you an opportunity to respond and to come to Him. Confess Him today and get your life where it needs to be. I'm talking about this, it's like you have recently lost a parent, I believe your mom. I see like a person grieving for her mother. He is real. He is the living God. And I encourage you today to come to Him. Give your life to Him. And what a joy it's going to be to hear your testimony about how God saved you, how He cleansed you, got your life on the right track. You don't have to live with that confusion and that lack of peace any longer. I'm tarrying just a little bit longer. You come. Say yes to Jesus today. May the Holy Spirit fill you to overflowing. May the angels of God surround you about. May you be one who walks out your identity in authority and power. May you be one who fills their heart with the Word of God. May you be one who knows what it's like to have God's peace ruling in your heart. May your light shine brightly. May your witness be powerful. May you see the signs, wonders, and miracles of God. And may you be one whose generosity blesses people day in and day out because God's been so good to me. You have so much love to give away. You have so much joy to give away. You have so much to share because of what Christ has done for you. Go share it with the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. God bless you for being here today. This altar remains open. You're dismissed.